In Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8, you don't need to turn to that in your Bible, but turn to page 2 of your outline, and that verse has been provided for you. Look at verses 4 on page 2 of 4, up on the top part, has a quick overview of our opening text. Verse 4 says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing the generations to come the praises of the Lord." So as we continue our lesson on the fifth commandment about children honoring their parents, we see that there is a responsibility of the parent to the child. It's the parent's responsibility to train that child and to nurture that child in the praises of the Lord. As you read on about the strength of God, His ability to create, His ability to save, His ability to take that which is crooked and make it straight, and then the wonderful works that He has done. The fact that God is God creator. And not only can God create in the physical realm, God can also recreate in the spiritual realm when He saves us. Look at verses 5. "For He, God, established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel." We are to train ourselves and teach our children about the Ten Commandments, which we've been doing here in this particular series, "which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." So parents and grandparents, it's not an optional thing. It is a requirement. It's a command on God's part to us as parents and grandparents to disseminate the Scriptures to our children and grandchildren. Verse 6, "that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born." Those are future generations. "Who should arise and declare them to their children." Do you see this so-called godly pattern? The truth is to be passed down from one generation to another generation. Verse 7, "they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." And last week on page 2 of page 4, we saw some clear Bible mandates. We saw that the father is to be the main disciplinarian in the home, and that he is to take an active part in the training of his children. We saw that from a biblical point of view, that the rod is not to be spared. It should be used properly and consistently whenever needed. And then we also saw that parents are not to go around believing that their children are little angels. Children are not little angels, my dear friend. They're snakes with a whole lot of poison inside their bags of poison, waiting to simply sink their teeth into their parents. And I say that with no apology. That's what the Bible says. We also saw last week that parents should not go around with this halo effect that my little Johnny is not that way. Well, the Bible does state that children are foolish and that foolishness is bound in their hearts. Now turn to page 3. From what do parents deliver their children from? Look at Proverbs 23, verses 13 to 14. It says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell." So Proverbs 23, verses 13 to 14 tells us that if discipline is administered properly, if mom and dad are on the same sheet of music, instructing their children in the ways of God, in the praises of God, in the law of God, in the mighty acts and works of God, the end of all discipline, my dear friend, is to deliver a child from death. Subnote, your loving, consistent, courageous parenting skills may just be the means by which your child is brought unto salvation. Look at the next two verses as proof. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 on your notes, verses 14 to 15. Notice what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." Notice the word continued. Another synonym for that word would be what? Perseverance. "Knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now notice verses 15, beloved. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here the Apostle Paul is acknowledging to Timothy that in Timothy's situation, he had loving parent or parents who instructed him in the Scriptures. And all that Timothy and Timothy's parents had at this time, my friends, was the Old Testament Scriptures. And Paul tells Timothy to continue in that belief and to continue in that instruction. And Paul says, from a child you've known these things. And beloved, we have churches today, listen to this, we have churches today who are doing a disservice to the young children of their congregations. They'll hide them in a room, they'll call it Sunday school, and the kids can basically play with toys, play with finger paint, get filthy, chomp on Cheerios, their diaper gets changed once in a while, but my dear friend, they're getting no biblical instruction. That is a travesty in the American church or any congregation. Children have always taken this so-called sub-backseat to the life of the church, and they ought not to. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 now. Look at verses 3 to 5. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now listen to this, folks. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the word unfeigned means it's not hypocritical, it wasn't two-faced, that it was real and legitimate, that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. My dear friends, here we see that grandparents do have a God-given biblical role in the life of their grandchildren. This idea that grandparents have no input in their grandchildren's life, my dear friend, is not sound. Timothy had a loving grandmother and a loving mother who inoculated him in the Scriptures. And since Timothy's father is not mentioned, many commentators have drawn the conclusion that maybe Timothy's father was not a convert, which was possible, or he wasn't really active in Timothy's life, because Paul just mentions the mother and the grandmother by name, not the father. And so if you're a parent or a grandparent here, you do have a responsibility, somehow, some way, to instill the truth into your children and grandchildren. Next point, do I let little Johnny just grow and bloom on his own? He's okay. He can take care of himself. Let Johnny just sit there and he's going to bloom like a rose bush. Look at the following verses as we close. Proverbs 25:7. Open rebuke is better than secret love. A mother or a father who smothers their child in iggy-gishy love, but never challenges that child, never rebukes that child, even in the open. I'm sorry, open rebuke is better than secret love. Look at Proverbs 29:15-17. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child, now notice this, left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So, beloved, Johnny cannot be left alone just to bloom on his own. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. We have a lot of child delinquency in our country today. Children running rampant like packs of wolves. You know why? They were simply left alone with no input, no instruction, and no love. And now they're the ones leading the street gangs, terrorizing people. Look at Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, not the way he wants to go. Isn't that amazing? But the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Look at the subnote on page 3. The word train implies discipline. It implies to narrow or to initiate. Beloved, there are many parents today who are AWOL at the switch to their child's upbringing. Many sidestep their God-ordained business as a parent upon government agencies or others. This ought not to be so. Parents are not simply to drop off their children at the Sunday school class, enjoy the services, and then that's the only instruction that little Johnny gets is maybe that 30 minutes or 45 minutes of playing with toys and finger paintings and chomping on Cheerios. There's no instruction going on at that time at all. And when you bring that little Johnny back home, if there's no training throughout the course of the week, then that child, beloved, is being basically left to him or herself. And the Bible says a child left to themselves will ultimately bring their parent to shame. Look at the next point. And we'll only do one here, and then we'll close, and then we'll pick this up at a later date. Biblical examples of the good, the bad, and the ugly in parenting. I'm going to spend some time here showing you a good example, a bad example, and then a real ugly example of parenting. Let's take one, and then we'll call it quits. Turn to Genesis 18, all of us, please. Let me show you one example of good parenting skills. And beloved, when we are teaching this, I want it clearly understood, we're not implying that parents always hit a home run. We do know that parents do strike out. Parents do make mistakes. Parents will fail. They will fail miserably. But nonetheless, they are the parent. Let me give you one good example here. In Genesis 18, Abraham has been given the information that God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know the story of how Abraham goes into this mediatorial prayer to God to spare the city. And God gets all the way down to 10. God tells Abraham, if I find just 10 righteous souls, 10 believers, I'll save the entire 4 cities on the merit of 4 saved souls. That's all. If God can just find 10 Christians in 4 cities, God would spare everything. Well, the angels go off to do their thing. Look at verses 16 to 19 as a good example. And the men, these are the two angels, rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, this was Jesus Christ in one of those pre-incarnation appearances, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Beloved, look at verse 19. Look at God's assessment of Abraham. For I know him, for I know you, Abraham, that you will command your children and your household after you. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon you, Abraham, that which God has spoken of you. I changed some pronouns to make it flow better for understanding. Look at verse 19. Despite the fact that Abraham is going to lie twice about his wife's identity to save his skin, God can still make this assessment that Abraham, you are such a father that you are going to command, not suggest in his home. It wasn't put on the table for a 50-50 vote. You're going to command your children. You're going to cause them to do justice and judgment. Well, beloved, it takes parents with a whole lot of intestinal fortitude to take that position and to do it 24/7 to the best of their ability. But nonetheless, my friend, we know Abraham sinned grievously on at least 2 recorded instances. We know that Abraham even jumps the gun and thinks that by marrying another woman and having that child, that the child from that union would be that promised son that God told him he would have. Even Abraham was walking ahead of God in that regard. So we know that Abraham wasn't perfect. But nonetheless, God could say this much about Abraham. What about you? What about you? And what about me? Well, next week we'll look at one more good example, and that would be Joshua. And then we'll begin to digress into the bad, and then into one of the most ugliest, disastrous examples of a father. And that was the man Eli. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, we come before Thee now to thank You once again for this day that You've given us. We also thank You that before our lesson here this evening, we spent a time doing questions and answers on our 9 marks of the Healthy Church, Chapter 3. I thank You, Lord, for the responses of Your people as well as their own explanation and even some of their own personal convictions about the state of the church and gospel preaching and all that is entailed in that. Lord, we thank You also that You have given us this beautiful day. And we pray, Lord, that You would bless us in our next hour as we come before You to worship You in truth and in spirit. In Christ's name, amen.